Here's Jessica Mayle, the regional spokesperson for TSA. Jessica, you're on WGN Radio. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Where are you based? Are you in Chicago or are you somewhere else?
I am based in Chicago, but today I am in Cleveland talking about Real ID, so I bounce around. But usually
Real ID has been maybe as big an issue in Illinois as anywhere. You probably know that. What do you want our audience to know about Real ID if they're going to go to the airport?
So, first of all, I would encourage people, if you do not have a Real ID, check your ID. See if you have that star in the corner. You may have taken care of this a few years ago and forgot you even did it. So, check if you're in compliance. If you're not, I would say go to our website, tsa.gov. We have a list of other forms of acceptable ID. The most common one is a passport, but there are about 12 or 15 others. They are not commonly used as much as a passport is, but I would encourage people, run through that list, see if you have something on it. You might have something that will work if you have imminent travel. And then if you don't have anything, you don't have anything on that list, you don't have a passport, you don't have a Real ID, and you have a trip coming up, you still may be able to fly. We expect these passengers will face delays, extra screening. So just show up early, give yourself extra time, and we're going to try and process as many people as we can.
This may be more a state of Illinois question than a TSA question, but if I don't have Real ID, I can use my passport. How long am I going to be able to use my passport in lieu of Real ID?
Forever. So that's our understanding right now is that that's an acceptable form of ID after May 7th. So, yeah, I think there are people who have a passport and they think, hey, for the amount that I fly, it's not that inconvenient for me to use my passport domestically. I don't need a Real ID, and that's perfectly okay. You can use your passport even if you're not going international.
What's Global Entry?
Global Entry is a trusted traveler program. It's an expedited screening program. I think I heard you mention it before. It does come with a TSA pre-check benefit, so that those programs, they communicate, and that basically you will get an expedited screening experience when you come through the checkpoint. You get a card when you're a Global Entry member. It is also an acceptable form of ID. So if you're in Global Entry and you have that Global Entry card in your wallet and you don't have your Real ID yet, that would work after May 7th. So that's another thing to remember. But the other thing I will say is that TSA PreCheck members need Real ID. So if you do not have a Real ID, you might not get your TSA pre-check screening that day because, again, those passengers are going to get extra screening.
My wife and I have Global Entry. In fact, I just renewed mine online and got the card back in the mail, and I love that. If you are an international traveler, if you're going on vacation and you come back, the line that greets you at the airport is disheartening, and if you have Global Entry, it's you get through so much quicker. That's the value of it, right, Jessica?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I think a lot of people you talk to who have it, they're never giving it up because once they're kind of used to that screening experience, it's hard to go back. So it's a really great program, very popular. But yeah, if you've gone through that enrollment process, you've proven your identity to us in a way that satisfies the requirement. And that's why the Global Entry card works as a form of ID at the checkpoint.
Right. But the first time you get it, I recalled I had to I think I went to the old post office or somewhere downtown where TSA had an office, and I had to sit down for an interview, and I had to do some paperwork and some forms of ID. Is that still the process to get Global Entry?
Yes, yeah. So same with Real ID, enrolling into Global Entry, in that you do have to, there is an in-person component where you have to bring in some documentation to prove your identity. The first time you get it, you have to make the appointment and do it, but then after that, usually renewing is a little easier.
It cost me $120 or something like that. What's the cost for Global Entry?
I don't want to give you the wrong number. I thought it was right at $100, but we'll check that, yeah.
Something like that. Okay. Now, when I went to the airport again the other day, I saw what looked like kiosks for something called Clear. What was that all about?
So Clear is a private company. You enroll with them, and then you don't have to show any ID because they use biometric technology to walk up. They scan. That's how they tell who you are. I will say that Clear members are subject to the same sort of random levels of screening that other populations are. So there's a possibility, even as a Clear member, you might randomly be selected to have to show your ID sometimes. And then CLEAR members also need to be real ID compliant, because if we ask you to show ID, that needs to be a real ID. So does not excuse you from the real ID requirement. But again, it's a private company, and up to you whether you think that the investment's worth it.
Well, does CLEAR then accomplish what Global Entry does? At least it's got the TSA PreCheck. I go right through then, right?
So it's not the same as PreCheck. They are different lines. And then
yeah, I noticed that. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And CLEAR doesn't give you those entry benefits with Customs and Border Protection the way that Global Entry would. So CLEAR is only the outbound part.
So CLEAR is just domestically, I'm flying out of Chicago, Midway, or O'Hare. If I am a CLEAR customer, I stand there. It takes my picture. It remembers me. It says, yep, you're good to go. And there is another line, and it is shorter than the Monster line. So do you know ballpark what the cost of the CLEAR ID is?
I don't. And again, I think that does range as well. And sometimes, you know, certain travel credit cards will give you benefits for Global Entry or for CLEAR where they might pay for that. So I would say check your credit card benefits, too.
Is there a way to get TSA PreCheck without going through all of these other hoops, or TSA PreCheck is a component of Global Entry and you've got to do that?
You can do it separate. So there are people who are just PreCheck members who don't have Global Entry. That also requires an in-person appointment the first time. But yeah, you can, if it's $78 for 5 years for TSA PreCheck.
Well, heck, if you got to show up somewhere and do the interview, pay the extra 20, 30, 40 bucks and get Global Entry, because that's the bomb. That's great.
If you are traveling internationally, I imagine there are some people who say, hey, I never go international. PreCheck gets it done for me. So you do what's best for you. But I'm also a Global Entry member, so I agree. It's a great program.
I was going to say this, and now I will. So there I was at the airport, and there was this, you know, monster Disney-ish line of people waiting who have none of these expedited passes to get through. And then there's the CLEAR people, and they're zipping through, and there's Global Entry or TSA PreCheck, and they're zipping through. And I understand the value of that. But at the same time, I think maybe we're not allocating our resources appropriately. I know that we want to encourage people to do this other thing, and therein lies the benefit. But doggone it, do we have to punish all these other people so much by making them wait so long? I thought maybe it was a staffing issue, but ultimately it's an allocation issue. Yeah, what do you think about that, Jessica?
You know, we have flexibilities in, you know, how we staff the lanes and turning PreCheck lanes on or off depending on demand. I will tell you that TSA standard is that we try and get all PreCheck passengers through in 10 minutes or less, and standard passengers 30 minutes or less. So yeah, we're going to staff those lanes differently and kind of watch the wait times differently. But you know, the other benefit to TSA from a security perspective is when you sign up for PreCheck or Global Entry, you're giving us a lot of information about yourself. So we can determine that you're a low-risk passenger. We want to devote more resources to the passengers that we know less about, because we don't know what their risk is. So that's why, you know, standard screening, they have to go through a different type of screening process than a PreCheck passenger. So, I mean, PreCheck is really growing in popularity. A lot of people are joining it. And it's just about what is the best use of TSA's resources to try and keep those wait times under the 30 minutes for standard, 10 minutes for PreCheck standard.
And I think if I opened up the phone lines and said, call me if you had to wait more than 30 minutes, you know we would get calls. But I take your point. It was 40 minutes for me at LaGuardia the other day, and there I was with TSA PreCheck, but I forgot to mention that when I was buying my ticket online, which is the trick, right?
You know, and I would say even if you show up, or you know, you're checking in the night before and you don't see that PreCheck on your boarding pass, or you show up that day, you check your bags, the boarding pass prints out and your PreCheck is not on there, you can add that even that day. You know, the airline has to help you with that, because they have to update your boarding pass with what's called your KTN or your known traveler number. But I would, again, same with you, I want that PreCheck every time. Another you know, caveat is that sometimes PreCheck passengers will get standard screening as a random layer of security. So I don't, no one is guaranteed PreCheck every time, but you can always add that KTN in even day of, and they can reprint your boarding pass.
Let's make a quick call and then we'll let you go. James, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, James? What's your question?
Hi there. My license is expiring in 2 weeks. So I got an appointment at Elston location to get it updated. ID, driver's license, and the real ID. And as you know, they give you a Xerox copy of the IDs and they mail you the original. But I'm looking at it. How do I know I got the real ID based on these Xerox copies. There's no star on the Xerox copy they gave me.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold, James. Is that in your wheelhouse? Is that something you can answer, Jessica?
So I'll just clarify that if you went through the Real ID process and you signed up for the Real ID appointment and they checked all of your paperwork, you know, that should be that you're getting the Real ID. But something to note is that temporary paper ID is not valid at the checkpoint. So you're going to need something else, whether it's a passport or your old non-compliant ID, if they returned that to you. I know sometimes they do, and maybe there are sometimes they don't. Bring that with your temporary paper ID. We might be able to identify or verify your identity that way. But in general, I want to get that message out, which is if you're in that limbo period waiting for your ID in the mail, you need something beyond the piece of paper, because that alone at the checkpoint is not a valid ID.
Jessica, I'm really glad we found you. You're really helpful. I have enjoyed this conversation. I'm glad we got you out there. So we'll call you up again in the near future and just kind of continue to update people on some of these things. But thanks for giving us your time today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.